Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
Edward Giro. How are you, Jason? Good to see you.
Good. Always love catching up with you every time you're doing a show around town. And this time we're talking the Lehman Trilogy, as in the Lehman Brothers. It's running now through, it just got extended, right? March 30th?
Yes, it did. March 30th. Yeah.
Wow, so audience response has been so strong out of the gate that they're like, let's tack another week on.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, it's going to be at the Shakespeare Theater Company, you know, a prestigious place here in town. I guess before we get to the actual, you know, premise of the actual play itself, remind our listeners who the Lehman Brothers were, you know, news-wise, you know, in the whole 2008 fiscal crash.
Well, we probably know of the Lehman Corporation, which precipitated a huge economic crisis in 2008, was part of the sort of the housing thing. You might have seen Big Short. Mm-hmm. That was that event that it was financial chaos across the globe. The Lehman Brothers, however, left the company in 1969, but their name, they built the company. They built this. They were part of the sort of whole fabric of America from 1844 till 2008. And the story covers their journey as immigrants coming to the country with nothing and building an empire over the course of 150 years. And the story covers that amount of time.
Wow. All right, cool. So the whole idea is that, you know, we hear Lehman Brothers as like the buzzword of the, you know, the stuff that happened at the end of the run long after. But you're saying that this is like reminding the immigrant story of how this thing was built in the process. So it's sort of a rise and fall kind of a thing.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to think like Yellowstone, right? So we're following the family that comes over on the boat in 1844 with one brother. The second brother arrives and they start building their empire in the South, in Mississippi. And we see multiple generations, their children and then their grandchildren. That takes us all the way to 2008, that 1969, actually. But then the company continues with their name and their brand and the whole notion of what they built all the way up to 2008.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah, you mentioned Yellowstone, but I mean, I always think of, you know, young Vito Corleone coming over in the Statue of Liberty and building an empire.
There's that.
Now, that's a crime empire, but you know, maybe because I'm wearing the Dogfather shirt.
Well,
but
you could argue that, you know, it became a crime empire, right?
Because they're
making money off, through the stock market crash in 29, through the Civil War, through World War II, into arbitrage trading in the 90s. I mean, they came to make money and become a purely financial empire, you know, make money, invest money to make money.
Yeah, exactly.
So it follows not only the story of the Lehman family, it also follows the story of the industrialization of America, the whole sort of rise of capitalism in the United States. And they become the sort of metaphor or the our guide through that whole history. Of what is America really? What's the American dream as, you know, from the immigrant perspective?
So that family is it's sort of symbolizing the American story itself.
Yeah, I mean, one of the cousins becomes the governor of New York and a very progressive governor. Herbert Lehman becomes an ally of FDR. So you have a whole range of Philip Lehman, for example, a great art collector. So there's a really interesting family that had their influence all across the development of America. It's extraordinary.
Well, yeah, let's do a deep dive into some more of the characters. So you play what? Henry Lehman. So what was his role in it?
Well, Henry's the first immigrant to come over in 1844, but this play is larger than that. I think of it as sort of an odyssey, right? We're following generational change. It's called a trilogy, much like a Greek play. We're seeing generations, like I said, like Yellowstone. So Henry is in the play as a character for about 20 minutes.
Oh, then you play other people. Okay.
And then I play 15, 16, 17 other characters. And we all do that.
Gotcha.
So in a way it's a gym. It's an acting gym. This is a circus. Right. We're pulling out. We're juggling parts, characters, lines. It's a 3-hour event. Right. It's a 210 page text, which took, when people ask, how do you memorize all those lines? And I tell them, well, when I have, I'll let you know. But then there's, there's a lot of text, a lot of characters, and we're juggling, and we rely on each other. The way the set is set up, we're in a box, as it were. We can't leave for each act, so we're depending on each other. If a plate crashes or if the pin drops, we have to pick up and keep juggling. And it has all those aspects of great storytelling, ancient storytelling. It's like, let's gather around the fire, and the three of us will tell you the story. We narrate, we play characters, we do accents. I mean, it's an incredible challenge as an actor to try to find ways to keep each one of these characters distinct and find the humor and keep people interested for 3 hours.
Yeah. I mean, not only the character changes, but I mean, there's probably a million, like, talk about sort of like the visual production changes. I mean, you're probably,
it's amazing.
Costume and sets, like, you're probably, yeah, to cover 160 years. That's crazy.
Right. Right. It's amazing. The set is extraordinary. It's there's a mound of a pile of paper, shredded paper, that reminds us. So the play starts on the night before the collapse in 2008. Okay. So we see that office, but then we go back in time, but the detritus of that is always around. And there's rear projection screens. So we have beautiful projections that are designed to evoke the cotton fields, to evoke New York in the 19th century, mm-hmm, to evoke New York in the 20th century, 21st century, beautifully rendered, and simple, but really elegant and powerful. The costumes, we start out in 19th century clothes, and we move into the 20th century, and they're pieces, right? We keep frock coats, but then things change. We change with hats or have glasses. Or, what are we going to do now? Or how many of us play women in the play? So then here comes the purse. Here comes the, so there's little pieces that help to identify who we are. And it's beautifully rendered, and the clothes are fantastic. Sound design, beautiful sound design, which evokes the wars, evokes the cotton mills, evokes, and it's really elegantly done. I think folks will, really, really enjoy it.
Sounds wonderful. I'm digging hearing you talk about it, because when I first saw the title, the Lehman Trilogy, it almost, like, tell our listeners that it almost sounds like it's like the first of like three plays that Shakespeare is going to roll out, but no, it's just called the Lehman Trilogy, and it's all,
well, it's called
the generations all in one.
Right. Nocini, this Italian writer who wrote the novel, wrote it in poetry. And there was a production in Italy which ran for 6 hours. And these guys, Nocini likes to talk, right? I mean, it's a big novel. Yeah. So I think he's relying on, through his culture, being Italian myself, I mean, he's relying on Dante, he's relying on the Greeks. So the trilogy evokes sort of the Greek trilogies, mm-hmm, the Roman trilogies. It's not one show, we're going over generations. What takes seven seasons to watch Yellowstone, yeah, to find the generational change,
or a Succession, the
Greeks,
which
the Romans
is
did it
four
in
or
one
five.
Evening.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. One evening, 3 hours. We're going to get four generations, and you're going to get it in one night.
Wow!
So there's that. It's really it's a saga. It's a saga.
The American saga. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so, and just for my purposes, like when I'm writing the article and everything. So you said four generations. So how, if we're calling it the trilogy, what is there like three distinct chapters? Because there's four generations.
Yes.
So okay.
Yes, the first. So it's divided into three parts. The first part is called brothers. So we meet the brothers, the patriarchs, as the first ones who arrive. Right. The second act is called fathers and sons. Okay. So now we're seeing the generations change. The third act is called the immortal. We don't know what that is, whether it's the idea, whether it's America, whether it's the family, whether it's one person. So it's really is three generations fully. Emmanuel, Henry, Meyer, with two really terrific actors, Mark Nelson and Renee Thornton Jr. Renee has done every Shakespeare play written. Mark and I were pals in the early 80s. We studied together. We'd never worked together in 45 years. So we're come back together after a whole lifetime. He's had a terrific career in New York and Broadway. So great, classically trained, experienced actors telling the story is it's sublime. It really is sublime.
Sounds great. And just to, one more follow up on that. If you for when I'm writing the article, if we were to try to give a rough like time span for each of those chapters, what are you thinking? So arrive from 18 whatever to whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So roughly the first act 1840 to 1865 post war.
So that's New York City immigrant story.
We're in Mississippi.
Okay.
Until we're going to make the move to New York.
Okay. Then, so immigrant is to Mississippi in the okay. Gotcha.
Well, he comes into New York. This the interesting story about my character that I learned. We don't find this out in the play, but he literally arrives in New York, and it's a wonderful scene. It is right out of The Godfather. It's right out of my grandfather's great grandfather's story of the immigrant describing getting off the boat. It's extraordinary.
Like Ellis Island, that whole thing.
Exactly. We're in Ellis Island. Exactly. Dock number 4 in the port of New York. and then he finds this place to Mississippi. And there was another Jewish community already established there. So that's where he began. Okay. So that takes us to Act 1. And then New York, Act 2 is 1865 to 1929, to the crash.
Okay, so post-Civil War to crash.
To 1929. And then Act 3 is 1929 to 2008.
All right, so from one crash to the recent
exactly.
the Great Depression to the Great Recession.
Well, the war.
All the war, yeah.
The crash. And the crash, and they survived twice. Third time, not so much.
Wow. So yeah. I assume then, to put a pin on it, then so I assume at the end it's definitely. I mean, we know what really happened. So I guess it's more of a tragedy, right?
Well, you know, it is, and I mean, it's certainly an invitation to think about it. The end in a real true Homeric way, we come back to. Even though the brothers are gone, we as the actors playing the brothers, they're still sort of ghosts. They're always present. At the end of the play, we come back to the three brothers from the beginning and think about before all of this happened, there were just three people, immigrants, travelers, dreaming about what America could be. So I think
believe in America.
Yeah, exactly. The opening line. It's the opening line of The Godfather. Is the same thing here. The opening line of the play is, he had been dreaming of America. Yeah. It's the same opening line.
Really?
Okay. I mean, it's really close to the same opening line.
Buonasera,
exactly. Yeah. So what's the invitation? You know, is it the dream that they realized? They realized it, but it was the wrong dream, or the dream goes sour? What's happened to the dream? And where is it now? And I think that's what makes the play so relevant right at this moment. It's being done all across the country. It's to audiences who are eating it up. So it's and a great again a great coup de théâtre for actors to get out there and survive and without, you know, walk the tightrope without a net. It's really kind of fun.
Wow, that's wild. Well, it sounds epic, man. We should tell everyone it just won, you know, the Tony Award for best play in 2020.
Exactly.
So this is like, you know, it's current stuff.
Yeah, it is.
So when you said the Italian version, I want to make sure I have all my facts right. It's Stefano Massini?
Stefano Massini, yeah, who wrote the novel.
When was the original novel? Do you know?
So the novel was, I guess, 2015.
Oh, okay, relatively recent. Okay.
It's brand new. Yeah, I mean, it had to be, right. It's brand new. Yeah.
And then Ben Power adapts it into this Tony movie.
He translates it. And I don't know if, I think he adapted it. He didn't translate it, but he adapted it. But yeah, there was a production in Italy in Italian. The 6-hour version, and they were in sort of clown makeup. So that it really was the Fellini piece of this.
Whoa,
is it's
right,
in
let's
there.
Go.
It's in. Well, it's in there, right? You know, this sort of the grotesque. I mean, it's life is a circus.
Lestrade.
Aesthetic is part. That is exactly. I mean, that aesthetic is part of who Massini is, right? Yeah. So he's using that, and I'm using that. It's not talked about so much, but you know, most of it's about the finance stuff. But what I really love is the structure of the piece and how he built it, and what's really in there in terms of the performance values. You know?
Wow,
it's fun.
I love it. Really well, I'll connect. I'll connect it for you. There's a through line from Fellini to Coppola with Nino Rota doing all the music, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Gosh, I could just talk. I love talking with you because you know all you get all the references, Jason. You know the background, and it's just great. Yeah. Well, let me I guess final seconds. What sort of lessons or warnings that audiences can take going forward as we charge forward? I mean, we're in a political year, of course, but like, what lessons can we learn from looking back at this 100?
I know it's a great question. Buyer beware. I don't know. Caveat emptor. I mean, you know, do your homework. You know, don't get seduced by. I don't know.
Mean necessarily for this election necessarily, but I mean just in general.
No, and where are we? Yeah. What do we value? I mean, capital, amoral capitalism. I don't know. I mean, junk was that way. The play Junk was that way. Oh, yeah. You know, this sort of criticism of amoral capitalism. Is it? I mean, we're still, there's the 1% who's making billions, and then there's the rest of us.
Right.
So it's still active. And, you know, how do you balance that? I mean, you know, in a reasonable, civil way. I don't know. I don't know.
To me, at least, it'd be a great system if it could be properly regulated.
Right. Well, I think that you're right.
Runaway greed is the death of us all.
Greed. Yeah. I know. I think the thing is that if it's looks like it's too good to be true, it is.
Right.
Don't. Don't buy. I mean, really.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Financial advice there from Ed Giro.
Yeah, right. That's right. I'm the guy to go to. Yeah, no.
hey, you got wisdom for days, my friend. Thanks for doing this. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
It's always a pleasure. No, I just hope folks come to see it. It's terrific. It's a real challenge. This is my 40th season as a Washington actor. I've been here since 1983.
Oh, wow.
So this piece is sort of, this piece really feels like capstone for me. So I'm so grateful to have been a part of this community for so long and to get a chance to do this piece. I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. Thank you. That's another angle I can throw in there. Sorry. So you from 83, so it was the 83-84 theater season. Yep. So we can say 2023-2024 season is the 40 years. Wow. Well, DC's been lucky to have you, from Ebenezer Scrooge to Scalia to everything. And now Lehman. Keep it going. You said capstone, but you're not done. You're still going.
No, but I'm managing my time. Managing 3 hours a day, two shows. This weekend we have five shows, so that's it's an athletic endeavor as well. It's like managing my sleep, managing my food, man. It's a thing, man. It's a thing.
And it's it says 3.5 hours with two intermission. Is that right?
It's three. Yeah, 3 hours of the actual playing, and the intermission adds on the extra half hour.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Well,
take your caffeine, have your coffee, you know, think of it as a binge event.
I mean, Oppenheimer, baby, that's going to win Best Picture. That's 3 hours. Killers of the Flower Moon, that's 3.5. We can do it.
Of course, we do it all the time.
Except here you get two bathroom breaks.
Exactly right. And a cocktail. You know, it's all good.
Exactly. But no, to me, length doesn't matter. Especially knowing you're here, you're charting American history. Like, to me, it's like, it makes it fly by because it's like, okay, I'm anticipating the next chapter.
Well, again, but also watching the gymnastics of the actors changing characters in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be entertaining. That's the circus part. Yeah. You've got this long story, but let's do it in an entertaining way. That's the idea.
Exactly.
That's the Italian piece of it.
I love it. So it's the big, it's like the big short, but it's the big long, but it's worth it. Worth it. It's worth it.
Exactly.
Hey, Ed Giro, thank you so much. I always love
talking to you. Thanks, Jason. Always a pleasure being with you. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. All right. The Lehman Trilogy, now through extended through March 30th at the Sydney Harmon Hall there at Shakespeare Theater Company downtown. Hey, be well, my friend.
You too.
All right.
See ya. Ciao.